Yeah, I want to look at Acts chapter 4. It's so great we've been talking about this foundational point before you can talk about any of the gifts of the Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or any of that kind of stuff. The idea that basically what we've been saying is the cross is the foundational building block on which everything else you can talk about has to be seated. I mean, if what you're doing is off someplace else, it's meaningless. And, you know, I was thinking about all the years I spent in these charismatic type situations, you know, when I was in college and stuff like that. Which is, you know, if you don't understand that, you just go crazy. You just go off on these tangents over the horizon someplace, and it's like, you think you're like being real spiritual and, you know, seeing angels or demons or something, you know, and it's like, wow, cool. You know, it's just all coming out of your own brain, but, you know. But we're going to look at a place where after Peter, I guess Peter and John were arrested after healing the guy on the temple steps. And then they came back to meet with their larger group of believers there in Jerusalem. And it's look in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. You there? And being let go, in other words, from the authorities, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God, the congregation or the group of people who were there. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, now listen to what they're saying. This is going to go on for like lots of verses. They're all saying it with one accord. And we really don't even know, does this mean they were chanting it in unison? Does it mean that they were all in agreement? Let's see. With one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, who hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the nations, or the heathen of the nations, and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It talks a lot about boldness in this passage, but if getting, you know, speaking with one accord, that came up earlier when they were waiting and tarrying in Jerusalem with one accord. And we've talked about what that means. And they were, you know, they weren't necessarily in a spiritual frame of mind. They were scared. They were, basically, what made it one accord was that they were reduced down to a place with no options except for what Christ had said to them. You know, this is going to happen. Be there. And here they're with one accord again. And all these one accord things, there's no way all of us in here can be in one accord if we tried. You know, I mean, I've got my own ideas about, you know, we can't like nuzzle up to each other and try and, you know, get on the same wavelength or, you know, share the same vibrations or become simpatico, you know, with one another. Or I can try and get you to, you know, have the same opinions I have about stuff, and then we can sort of And if this one guy doesn't have those opinions, we can get rid of him. And then we'd have like at least two or three people who said they were in one accord about something. But human beings pretty much can't get in one accord.
I can see.
This can only mean that they had come to the same place where believers throughout history have come to be one, and that's when you go to the cross. At the cross, you're emptied of everything. Nothing is in the way of the Holy Spirit causing that unity. But the weird thing is, in that place, something happened, and they had, it's like they were all saying this, and I have a feeling, they all could have just spontaneously said this. These are basically some quotations from different psalms and affirmations about God and a prayer. But I think when it says they were saying it with one accord, it means that what we talk about with homologio, they were speaking or confessing the same thing because they were in the same point. They were all at the cross, which allowed the resurrected Christ to speak within them through, the faith that he had. And so this is what comes out. They affirm right off the bat that God is God and he's made everything. And by saying that, they meant that the trouble they were in, he had also made that. So it's like right off the bat, it's like before we ask you for anything, or say anything about, what it is we're in need of or anything. They said, you are God, and you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And that's a big place, and you can't say that unless you have died to yourself. You won't see it. I can't see it. If I'm worried about some problem, the only way to get to this point is to go to the cross, and then that becomes apparent. God is in control. He's ruling. So then they go on and they acknowledge that what was going on is the fulfillment of prophecy. David prophesied it, said the heathen and the nation of Israel are all going to come against this truth. And this is an interesting reference here in regards to, I'm talking on and off about the movie The Passion. It lumps the nations in there along with the rulers of Israel as the people who are, coming against the Messiah. It's not, it's not the Jews, it's everybody. It's the people, the heathen rage. And imagine vain things. And they're describing not just the outward persecution that was happening, they were describing what's going on in each one of our heads. Our minds raging and then imagining vain things against the cross, against Christ crucified. For of a truth, against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the heathen and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. The persecution and the trouble they were in is at your hand, God. If we can say that, and wherever we are, then we will be in tune and in one accord with the people that were at this point in history and with believers throughout time and with each other. But can we say that? We don't ever believe it. We get up and we, it's not at God's hand because we've got to do something about it. So anything that we're doing something about, we're saying this isn't at your hand. Those people are doing whatever they're dreaming up against your counsel. That's the way we feel like. This is happening and it's screwing up what God wants to do today. In a position of of going to the cross and being in one accord, it's the opposite. You see God's hand in everything, no matter how nutty and crazy it is. Then you're open to see a miracle. You know, you won't see it if you're concentrating on your own self. So they had the enemies that they were perceiving were acting at God's hand and His counsel, which in fact had been prophesied before. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that we may smite them. Oh, it doesn't say that. All they're asking is to be able to continue to speak the word with boldness, that they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Not really by us. It's all by God's hand. Everything that's happening here is by God's hand. The threatenings and the rage of the people and of your mind or whatever, it's happening at God's hand for a reason. If you let go of yourself and empty yourself, then the power of God and His resurrection, that anything that happens is happening at the hand of Jesus, not at your hand. So it's like things are just happening, and they're all at God's command. And that's comforting in a world where everything's going crazy by according to your senses. So there's healing, there's signs and wonders. Signs and wonders, we're supposed to be a sign and a wonder in the world. And people in this position are a sign and a wonder. And I was reading this thing where these pilots in Mexico saw UFOs or something. Any of you see that? They had a... You get the UFO email newsletter, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I figured. But there were these like balls of things that were invisible, but they showed up on their infrared screen. So they couldn't see them directly, but on their radar thing, these things were like chasing the plane and all kinds of stuff, you know. And they were excited, and the newspapers in Mexico had, you know, had these things all over. And it was like a sign and a wonder to everything. But then, you know, scientists started looking at the data, and they looked at it and they said, what this is, they were flying through these clouds and areas where ball lightning forms, and they were attracted to the airplane as a conductor thing. They were sort of following it. But the
government propagated.
Yeah. Well, the thing that makes us a sign and a wonder is that there's no explanation for how we are. If there was an explanation of it, well, they're acting this way because it gets them this, and then that fits into the world's understanding of why people do stuff. But the reason we're together and what God is doing among us is a sign and a wonder, because we don't have... there's no reason for us to be here together doing what we're doing. And we're in one accord for no reason. You know, if I sat down and we exchanged what it is we thought about stuff, then it'd all be different, except what we think about this one thing. If we can be in agreement about the cross, then we're in one accord spiritually, and that's what the light goes on, and boom, there's this... this oneness that's defies the human brain,
you know,
logic.
The idea that we gather every morning and talk about something that you can't use is part of the sign and wonder thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's miraculous.
Yeah, you know, like either we're crazy or something is going on by God's hand.
Or yeah.
Both. Huh? Or both.
Or both.
Yeah. In the business world, it's fine. You get up and have a business meeting, and you make decisions, and that gets you
motivational coffee meeting in the morning.
That's right. You get everybody on the same page.
The fact that the message hasn't changed in 30 years, it's like, haven't you moved beyond
it? Haven't you learned anything?
Yeah.
What about that resurrection? resurrection. Maybe we ought to talk about that.
One of those things that they said, all these things, they were in one accord and they were speaking the same thing, you know, whether they were all speaking it in unison or whether they were, you know, in oneness when one person spoke it and they were all in agreement. I don't know what was going on. But as they were doing this, it says when they had prayed, so after they'd already said this, the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You know, in other words, they asked to be able to speak the word of God with boldness, and then God immediately answered their prayer, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It says right at the end. But the shaking we've talked about, you know, is in the Hebrew, the word is the word they use for the wave offering. They became the wave offering, which was, you know, up and down, this way and that way, back and forth, to show that, you know, it was all-encompassing. And the shaking destroys everything that's not nailed down, you know. I mean, the only thing that's nailed down is this one point, which is Christ crucified. And then everything else goes away. It's blown away. And, you know, we didn't go through it this year in our Bible study, but there's these scriptures about the threshing floor where, you know, that's the place where everything is blown away that's not part of the seed. And that's where the Holy Spirit is poured out on the threshing floor. The threshing floor analogy is extremely important in understanding Pentecost. And it comes up again here. It was shaken. You know, was it really shaken? I mean, was there a little earthquake? Did the neighbors complain the next day? Maybe, you know. Like, what was that? Or maybe they were just shaken inwardly because they understood that they were the wave offering. And in the same way that they were of one accord in this same way, you know, and, you know, it's like they all still had their ideas and the backgrounds that had brought them together, and that's important because that's what makes them fit together as a body, but they didn't give it any importance. You know, I've got my whole background of things that happened to me coming up to this point, but I'm not like hanging on to all those things as some kind of, you know, system of living life or something. It just made me who I am so I can be here and fit in the position that I need to be. Same with each one of you. Same with each one of these people here. So our unity doesn't have anything to do with what we're thinking or our ideas. It has to do with Him. It's a unity in a person, which is Jesus Christ. And it's not just Jesus Christ, the cosmic Christ or something. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But, you know, sort of like we're just talking about in Ephesians where he lists all the armor of God and all that kind of stuff. You have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, it's like that's the thing that you can't lug all the other equipment around if that's not there. You know, if you're not in that position of, you know, your feet shod with the right thing. My feet have been screwed up. I thought about this walking up there this morning. I bought these new shoes and they were pinching my big toe. And up at Pentecost, I was looking at my feet and it was like I'd made this big blood blister or something on there from trying forcing myself to walk in my new shoes because I didn't want to admit that, you know, I spent, you know, $30 on some shoes that didn't work. So, but I have given up on that now. But if you're not shod, you know, correctly, it's my little message. You can't do anything. You can look like you're doing something, but, you know, it's not in sync with anything. And that's the preparation of the gospel of peace, is this position of the cross, and it brings peace. In other words, that's the peace allows all the rest of the stuff to happen. You know, if you're in this place where there's still worry and agitation and, you know, feeling, you know, responsible or, you know, all this kind of stuff that attacks you, then you can't be in one accord with anybody. You're just sort of sitting back here looking, you know, trying to look like you know what you're talking about or something. And you miss out on what God is doing. So, all those things, we have to recognize God is in control initially. Acknowledge God. It's like, that's the first point. God is the creator of everything. the creator of you the way you are. He's the creator of all the stuff that went into your life. He's the creator of all these other people. He's the creator of all the situations and the enemies and the craziness that goes on in the world, because it's for a purpose. And then if you're in one accord about that, then all the rest of the things fall in line. You're able to, the bottom line is, you're able to speak the word of God with boldness, and you're speaking the same thing as God. So that's a, they had, I think this is in the Bible because, you know, they had the big Pentecostal moment earlier in Acts, and then Peter and John go and they heal people and they get in trouble and they get, you know, arrested and then they get released, and then it's like, it could be like, well, it's all downhill from here, you know, we had the big understanding. But no, they're all still, you know, there's unity, there's oneness in that same position, knowing that God's behind everything. Everything is at His hand. And if you know that, you can speak the Word of God with boldness, and people, you know, can be pulled out of the fire without us trying to, you know, have a big, you know, some kind of plan. It just happens. Just like each one of us will call out of the fire. And God opened our hearts to hear something. So, that's what I have to say this morning. Anything on your heads to respond? Anybody not in one accord about this? I mean, that's...
Sure. Raise your hand.
Yeah, raise your hand.
Let us all know. I understood the wave offering for the first time this morning. It's always been confusing, the wave offering. But the idea is that God is near, He's far, He's high, He's low, He's here, He's there. There's no place that He is not.
No place that He's not. Yeah, that's the big deal.
And that's just, that's one of the...
Okay.
It's pretty wild stuff. It's such a miraculous thing. It seems like they were there together of one accord, speaking the same thing.
Yep.
Talking about speaking boldly makes me think of the Wizard of Oz and the... Who would have to speak the same thing?
God, Gary.
The wizard behind the curtain. That makes me think of the televangelist on camera as the... That's the curtain. He's hiding behind that. Pretty good idea like that. It just came into my head.
It's no surprise, as long as we're looking at it, but they got together, they were of one accord, there wasn't anybody who asked for health or wealth or anything like that, you know, a new car or whatever.
Yeah.
So, another...
Yeah, they did ask for something, and it was to speak the word of God with boldness. And,
yeah.
And when they did, then there was healing that came. That doesn't really explain what was going on there, but, you know, it, probably the whole gamut of what we understand to be healing, from wholeness of understanding to, you know, who you are, to just the, you know, somebody had something wrong with them and it was healed. Probably the whole thing happened. It was like, there it is.
But they didn't ask for that.
Yeah, they were asking for this one thing. And that it's like the thing they were asking for is the thing that was had been prophesied for them. So to ask for it confirms that you agree that what God said, you know, through Daniel or through, you know, the prophets or something like that is being fulfilled in Christ. So, you know, it's like those are the things, if you ask for those, you know, you're asking for your inheritance, what's supposed to be happening, and that's, then you're not only asking for something, you're agreeing with God at the same time. And it's like, boom.
It makes me think of when Trinity was formed, it was formed with the idea of communicating the love of God through Jesus Christ. And it's like, that's our prayer, that we would be able to do that. It's the same thing as speaking the world boldly, be able to communicate His love to the world is our prayer.
And the funny thing is, in Acts, the word love isn't ever used. It it's kind of a weird deal. It's this underlying understanding. It's just like, well, why not? You know, just let, you know, one guy uses it all the time. You know, you get Gospel of John, he's always talking about love and stuff. It's because they're for different purposes. You know, the Book of Acts is what is Acts. You know, the Acts of the Apostles, and this is what flows from an underlying understood basis of the love of God being there. You know, but it's not. You know, you don't have to like talk about it all the time because it's just that's your life. There's a lot of weird little things like that. Anyway. Anything else? Well, disperse to your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Be warm in your bed.
Yeah.